very exciting to hear about the complexities of our occurrences, not yet at the concept. And I think it's absolutely great that somebody tells us firsthand how useful it is actually to understand geology and mineralogy. Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Jan Rasmussen. Many of you know Jan. Again, she is local. She earned her PhD in economic geology from the University of Arizona in 1993. She went to work for Woodward Clyde as a geochemist on the Yucca Mountain project in Nevada, so she knows something about our local geology. Jan has worked in a variety of geological fields, starting with writing books on coal and oil, molybdenum, uranium in Arizona for the Arizona Geological Survey, as Jan built early in her career. Jan's current work for SRK Consulting consists of writing Canadian National Instrument 43101, reports for mining planning, aquifer protection permits, and other permitting documents for mining lands. Her current work with MagmaChem Exploration involves mineral exploration and research into hydrothermal oil in the North Sea. Jan was a curator of the Arizona Mining and Mineral Museum in Phoenix from 2007 through 2010, for which she received the SME Individual GA Award in 2010. She has always been interested in educating the public and has taught part-time for the University of Arizona, Austin Community College, Cochise College, and now Pima Community College since 2000. Throughout her career, Jan has co-authored 14 books or reports on Arizona geology and numerous articles, the most recent of which was a short summary of the geology of Arizona for the Popular Rock and Minerals magazine. Please welcome Jan.
Thank you. This is a different kind of talk from the ones that have gone before. This is an overview talk, so of course there are generalizations, but I want you to come away with a feeling of understanding the complexity of the geologic history in Arizona and how that has affected the mineral deposits that are here. So one of the main messages is that it's not all copper. We have many other minerals that have been concentrated in the rocks here in Arizona. So there are over about 800 districts and sub-districts in Arizona, so obviously I cannot talk about all of those, so I am just going to give some examples of each of the different periods of mineralization. But we have a very rich mineral heritage in Arizona, and one thing that we tend to forget is that even though we have a huge amount of copper that has been produced in Arizona, there have only been three times during geologic history, probably only about 30 million years total, at which copper was concentrated in the crust here. So we have a very complex history, and copper is only one part of it. So the generalizations here are that the Precambrian rocks were added to the continent. Let's see, this is not working.
Better off this
year. Oh, I don't want to hit that one. Okay, so the top one shows the Precambrian orogenies or mountain building episodes added to the fringes of the continent. During the Paleozoic, the Arizona was on the trailing edge of a continent. So the action was happening in the eastern part of the U.S., and here we just had the seas come in, the seas go out, and so forth. In the Mesozoic, Cenozoic, then Arizona became on the leading edge of the continents, with plate tectonics making ore deposits throughout the whole period. And then in the latest Cenozoic, the subduction zones were cut off by the San Andreas transform margin, and we do not have metal deposits during that time period. So here's the summary slide with Precambrian at the bottom in red. There are five different episodes of mountain building. The middle part is the Paleozoic, in which all the action was happening on the East Coast. And then the Mesozoic and Cenozoic, again, had five major orogenic periods, and each of those can be subdivided into three different phases at which different metals were deposited. So as I go through each of these, I will have the part at the top of the slide that we're talking about. And incidentally, you don't have to take notes because this is on my website, janrasmussen.com. So at least the earlier version of this talk. I'll get the new one up in another week or so. So the premise is that as the plate is subducted, it intersects different layers of the mantle at which there are different concentrations of metals. So at any one particular time, you have quartz alkalic, the MQA, or the gold deposits in one area, the MAC, or the lead zinc deposits next to it, closer to the margin, and then the MCA, or calcalcalic, with the copper deposits closer to the plate boundary. So this kind of thing gets transgressed or moved eastward as the plate, the subducted plate, gets shallower. So this has happened in several time periods. And in general, each of these different alkalinities has certain characteristic metals associated with it. For example, the quartz alkali, copper and gold, if it's oxidized, gold, if it's reduced, alkali, calcic, lead, zinc, silver. If it's reduced crust, it is silver, maybe tin. And calcalcalic is our porphyry copper deposits. If it's reduced crust, like in Nevada, then it's gold, and so forth. So we have a couple of different types, the metaluminous and paraluminous, and these are fully described in my PhD dissertation from 1993, which is also on the website. So just to give you a short example, we have variation diagrams to indicate what the alkalinity is, and we have another kind of variation diagram to indicate whether it is oxidized or reduced. So those are also detailed in my dissertation, and those diagrams were created by Stan Keith with MagmaChem back in the 80s and 90s. So I'm going to have to go through this very fast, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the mineral pictures. So the first one that we have in Arizona, we don't have the original cratons, but we do have this blue area, which is the Penokian or Hudsonian orogeny from 1.8 to 2 billion years ago. It's called the Mojave in Arizona. And the characteristics are the metaluminous calcic, and what we have are the banded iron formations. At least we have one example. There may be more, Pike's Peak iron. These does not produce right now. But the banded iron formation has magnetite and hematite-rich silica. So this sample is from the Jerome Historical Museum. And if you want to know more about the Precambrian in Arizona, you need to talk to Paul Lindbergh. He's got a wonderful example there. And the Jerome deposit is one of his specialties. So here's a picture of the Jerome deposit. And the type of origin of the bornite chalcopyrite ores is as a black smoker, where the bottom of the seabed, you have these seeps and springs that are producing the sulfide minerals in a cloud that get deposited as bedded ore. So other examples are the Big Bug or Iron King. Then later comes the Mazatzal orogeny in 1750 to 1600 million years. These also are copper, zinc, lead, silver VMS, volcanic massive sulfide, so these have the same origin, and an example is the Bruce or Old Dick. Then there is a granite at about 1400 million years, and this has always been called the Anorogenic, but it really was a period of mountain building. There are massive amounts of this granite, like the Oracle granite and so forth all over. And it is a paraluminous, and it has beryllium, lithium, sometimes uranium, sometimes lead, but it also is characteristic of pegmatites, such as the White Picacho District, the Tumstona District, and the Four Peaks District near Phoenix. So one of the products of the Four Peaks District is beautiful amethyst. Now this picture is from the sample we had at the Arizona Mining and Mineral Museum. So of course they didn't give us our wonderful example, but you do have beautiful emeralds that come out of that mine. Then the next one is the Grenville orogeny from 1200 to 900 million years ago. And this added material to the edges of the continent. And here in Arizona, that's shown as the Grand Canyon Supergroup, the Ankar, including the Cardenas lava, the basalt flow, which is about 1,070 million years ago. And in southern Arizona, we have the Apache group, which has diabase in it, which is sometimes the host for our porphyry copper deposits. So these diabases were intruded as sills in the sediments of the Apache group. The material that is mined from the contact zones around the diabase is the serpentine asbestos in the Sierra Anchas and Salt River Canyon. Those, of course, are not mined right now. Then there was a change in the plate tectonic regime. In the Paleozoic, the action all happened on the east coast, where the continents of Europe and Africa at various times collided with the North American continent. And this created very large mountain ranges. The Appalachians, probably at the time they were created during these various orogenies, were probably as high as the Himalayas or the Alps. So it was continent-continent collision making huge mountains. So the result of this was in Arizona, we were at the trailing edge of the continent, so there was not much that happened out here. Basically, we were shallow seas and some sediments getting shed from the continent. But the one thing that we do have in Arizona that is economic are the limestone deposits that were deposited during the lull or the lack of action between the Caledonian orogeny and the Alleghenian orogeny. So during this time, Arizona was shallow seas, as was most of the western U.S. And in Arizona, the red wall limestone was deposited, which has the caves and the springs. And in southern Arizona, we have the Escabrosa limestone. So these are the source of our cement plants. So the Clarkdale cement plant, the Rigido cement plant near Tucson, and the Sahuarita marble, which is in the Santa Rita Mountains. Of course, the marble is as the contact zone from a porphyry near Rosemont. Now this all changed at the boundary between the Paleozoic and the Mesozoic. This was when the continents had all come together as part of Pangaea. And so as the continents sort of got stuck and started to move again, Arizona became at the leading edge of the continent. So during that time, the subduction zone was intersecting various layers in the mantle, and where the melting occurred, that's where you get the volcanoes and the associated mineral deposits. So we start with the Nevadan orogeny from about 230 to 145 million years ago. And this was a kind of mountain building episode at which the subducting plate became shallower with time. Therefore, the mineral belts moved eastward as the subducting plate became shallower. So the early part of the Nevadan is when you have the uranium and the vanadium deposited. These are alkalic fluids. So what we see in northern Arizona are the Chinle Formation with all of the ash beds that have been converted to clay, bentonite clay, and the silica that was abundant in this area gets replacing the wood. So you have beautiful petrified wood samples from this time period. In also northern Arizona, the red wall limestone had caves in it whose roofs collapsed, and all of the sediments above it were collapsed into a breccia pipe. Now this is a collapse breccia, not an explosion breccia. So these areas where the uranium-rich fluids could get concentrated have very high amounts of uranium. So examples are the Orphan Mine, the Grandview Mine, and the other kinds of deposits at northern Arizona. So here's some pretty pictures of Tuya Yamanite, cyanotrichite, and amorite, and of course carnotite, which is the main uranium oxide mineral. Now the Middle Nevadan orogeny is the one that produced the Warren District or the Bisbee Mines, and this is the Lavender Pit, and of course we have all the wonderful copper oxide minerals. So this particular metallogeny is quartz alkalic, which is a porphyry copper gold. It's slightly different from the porphyry coppers that we have here. And because of this, Bisbee was actually the largest gold producer in Arizona throughout history. Another example of possible Jurassic quartz alkalic are the Cortland Gleason area. And I'm sure there are many of them in western Arizona in the Jurassic. I believe that is an unexplored, hugely potential porphyry copper district in Arizona. So these are minerals from the Bisbee Mine, malachite, copper, azurite, cuprite, the wonderful azurite roses, and chalcocite. A lot of these are secondary. Then the next orogenic period is the severe orogeny from 145 to 89. And that was a time when the subduction zone was relatively constant dip. So in other words, there was not fast spreading. So most of the action happened in California, mountain ranges. What was happening in Arizona was the Back Arc Basin, in which limestone was deposited. This is the Mural limestone east of Bisbee, and that limestone is mined at Paul Spur near Douglas. So most of the other Bisbee-aged basins in southern Arizona just have sand and gravel from alluvial plain sediments and so on. But you notice the kind of east-west structural grain. Then we come to the Laramide, and it also is divided into several different episodes. The first is the earliest, again with east-west. And in northern Arizona, you have the coal deposits. And in the next one is the Tombstone Assemblage, which is from 85 to 65. Those are alkali calcite, lead, zinc, silver veins, and replacement deposits. The best example is Tombstone. Others are the Tyndall or Globe and the Solero District. Now those volcanics were hugely explosive, like Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. And so you have these huge, tough deposits that that are underlain by granodiorite. So some of the tombstone deposit minerals, the native silver, alabandite, some of these tellurite ores, chlorides, and some wolfenite. The one we all know is the middle laramide, 65 to 55 million years, with all of our porphyry copper deposits. And notice this west-northwest structural grain. Incidentally, all of this stuff is in an article that Stan Keith and I wrote in the mid-1980s, and that's also on my website. So this is our porphyry copper deposits, and there are lead, zinc, silver deposits fringing these, and we know all the typical examples, Salmon Well, Ray, so forth. So the outer zones have some of these really interesting minerals like kenoite, dioptase, so on. The latest laramide is also a granite, and called from 55 to 43 million years ago. The main place where we see it is in the Catalinas. And this was a time also of flat subduction. And there are in western Arizona some gold deposits associated with this. This is the Copperstone Gold Mine, Gold Basin, and Las Guijas. These were probably occurring at the same time. And again, one point is that this is from west to east, the transgression of these deposits with the alkalic getting at the bottom being superimposed by the alkali calcic, superimposed by the alkalic, and then the paraluminous. So in any one locality, you're going to have a superposition of the various kinds of metallogeny, which makes any one district very complicated. In the tertiary, we start out with clay deposits, and then later we have huge amounts of alkali calcic volcanism and the associated lead, zinc, silver deposits, particularly Castle Dome, Stanley, Aravaipa, the Red Cloud District. Some of the places where you see these volcanics are the Superstition Mountains, Chiricahuas, Organ Pipe, the North Tucson Mountains, and some of the exotic, beautiful minerals at the Red Cloud Mine, wolfenite, vanadinite, mimetite, cerussite. And then the latest stage of the Galliera, we call the Whipple Mountains, from 18 to 13, more or less. And this also is highly potassic volcanics, and these are frequently quartz alkalic, and sometimes gold, copper, silver deposits, usually epithermal. Examples are Oatman, the Mammoth Mine, Rowley, Swansea, and here's a picture of the Mammoth St. Anthony Mine, just north of the San Manuel Mine. It was not part of the same mineralization as the porphyry copper at San Manuel. It was a later event tied to rhyolite dikes. And it had some really beautiful minerals. Some rare ones, chalcedonite, dioptase, boliite, diaboliite, beautiful cerussites, and wonderful wolfenites. So after that comes the basin and range disturbance from about 13 million years to the present. And this is when the valleys dropped down and you had the valleys filled with sand and gravel and salt. You also at this time had the volcanics, for example, the San Francisco volcanic peaks, the Kibo salts. So this is a time when the San Andreas Fault cut off the subduction zone. And as that plate foundered and kind of continued down, then the basins kind of dropped and we have our basin and range province. Some of the materials that got economic at that time were the basalts with the olivine crystals in them and the beautiful peridot minerals, plus the cinders. And of course, all of our sand and gravel, Kalamazoo clay, the gypsum roses, and so on. So in conclusion, the Precambrian had a mountain building that added to the fringes of the continent. So that was a time when we had many different metals, particularly copper and lead, zinc, and silver. Paleozoic, the main product was limestone to make our concrete. Again, in the Mesozoic, Cenozoic, with the leading edge in Arizona and all the action happening, many different metals superimposed on one another, and then the latest Cenozoic, we have the industrial minerals and basalt. So if you want more detail, you can look on my website. Thank you.
Jane, thank you very much. I hope this inspires all of you to have another look on our interesting Arizona geology and mineralogy, and maybe there is some more stuff that we discovered and to talk about in the future. I want to thank you all for being here.